Well, thank you, Pastor. It's a great privilege to be here. Thank you for the invitation to come and to share. As Apostle Paul said in so many words, I believe in one of the Corinthian epistles, we would share the gospel for free if we could. God has been our needs to be able to travel around and to share about Poland. And yes, we are raising support to go there full time. We've served in pastoral ministries, church planting ministries. All of them have had kind of evangelistic missions kind of bent to them. And so now the Lord has redirected us to the land of Poland. And we are raising support to go there. But it also is a part of our ministry to be able to share with folks. I'll be honest with you. If we could have raised our support in an instant from churches where we originally were starting out around Detroit, we would have just taken our support and headed overseas. The delay in doing that and necessity to work harder at gaining support means that now we have been able to come here to your church to be able to share about Poland. And we trust that in God's working and timing and of things, that he uses different circumstances to make sure the message about his work gets out in various ways. And so thank you for the opportunity to share today. This morning in our Sunday school hour, we shared a little bit more in depth about how God has led us to Christ and to be called into missions. And I just encourage you today as we move along that if you have opportunity to just interact with us, to ask more about us, feel free to do so. The pastor said to, promised that you would be doing that today. So, and our teenagers do talk if you talk to them. They will talk back. I mean, not talk back, but they will answer you and everything of that. And so we are a family ministry team. We serve together, Lord Jesus Christ. And even as they're growing older and getting up into their own track of vocation and job and education, they are still a part of God's work, and we're praying that God will continue to guide them in their particular areas wherever he sends them. And no doubt using some music, sports, other things that God has gifted them. We do have a display table, and please stop by there. There are things that are somewhat interactive, all the way from young people to older folks. Our pastor was caught, that hat caught his attention, and different things catch people's attention. Now, you can't have, I probably told you this before, you can't have that hat. That's my hat, and I've worn it. It belongs to me, and I'm not really possessive of it and everything, but it is my hat and everything. So that's why that hat came, and that particular hat is going to return with our display. So we have a lock on the suitcase, so I just want to make that clear. So, we do have a sign-up sheet. If you'd like to receive our newsletter, a prayer letter by email or mail, please note that on there. And we would want to make sure that we can share with you as much as possible what God is doing there. As the Lord leads us along, we just covet your prayers as you partner with us in that. And if the Lord would lead you to support in other ways, that would be a great furtherance of God's work. Poland today has 38 million people. It is true that Poland is considered mostly to be a Christian nation because of the presence of the Roman Catholic Church, the traditional church that is in every town, and that to most people, if you would ask them to on a survey, now, what church you belong to, that would be it. When we were there a number of years ago, I knew these things factually in my head, but when we went there, I did what I usually do here in the United States, and I was talking to a chef. He was taking a break after fixing our meals and everything. And I said to him, as I got to know him, of course, he knew enough English for me to talk to him. I said, now, which church do you go to? And he looked at me kind of funny. And he said, well, you see that bridge over there across that goes across the river? Just on the other side there, there's the church. And so I thought, huh, there, even though I knew factually what Poland's made up of, I didn't realize that basically the church there has been kind of monolithic. It's a single representation of Polish people's spiritual life. And so as they lived through communism, as they lived through World War II and then communism, that if they went to church, that's the church they'd go to. When they have a national tragedy like the airliner that went down in Russia, Belarus, a few years back, when that tragedy happened, they gathered together, led by the priests and the others there to mourn those who had died, much like our country does in times of national crisis. They gather to the churches. Here in America, we have a lot of different churches. There, it's somewhat homogenous there. But our mission and purpose is to go to Poland and to work with the churches and their pastors to help grow and expand their ministries, to start small groups that can become church plants throughout Poland. And there are various activities that we use to do that. We'll be talking about that a little bit more in the afternoon service. And we just want to see Poland be a place where there is the gospel heard in every corner. Let me just illustrate it this way. We have talked to Polish people time and time again that have been saved. And what happens many times is that these people would be living in Poland, and they'd be brought up and influenced by the traditional church there. They're moralistic. They believe in that there is a God and that the Bible is important. But they never are challenged to make a personal decision for Christ, to understand why Christ came and how they can only be saved through his blood and by their personal faith in him. But when they come to the United States, something changes. Before long, somebody comes up to them in some way, shape, or form, through literature, through personal knock on their door, through a hospital chaplaincy or something like that. Somebody comes to them and shares with them somehow about the gospel. And some of these folks, not all of them, but some of them then come to know Christ. That's the difference between Poland and the United States. Another way to illustrate it is if you took all the churches in this county. What county are we in here? Armstrong County. You took all the churches that preach the gospel, and you got rid of them all except one church. And depending on your population, it'd either be a big church or a smaller church. That's how it is in Poland. You get one church per county. That's basically how it's spread out. As far as gospel preaching churches, where people, when they go in there, they'll hear the word of God clearly in the gospel and be challenged to make a personal decision of faith. So it's our challenge to bring the gospel to Poland in that way. A lot of the young people now are growing up. They have access to other countries and other educational systems that do not teach them to believe in God or to follow godly morals and standards for their life. And so we're there to bridge the gap in the preaching of the gospel. This morning, I'd like to turn our attention to the Gospel of Luke and to look at a few things that Jesus used by way of illustration. Jesus used many common things that were a part of people's everyday life to help illustrate spiritual truths. God, I believe, has given us creation not just to make sure we stay alive, but he shows his glory through everything. And you can't help but miss that in this time of year with springtime. As we're traveling down the highway, we were noticing the green hills. I mean, one spot there, I didn't have a camera, but it was like a camera picture almost of these cattle there with some calves on the side of the hill, all nice and green, the sun coming down from the side, just gorgeous. And yes, we noticed the deer there, and boy, aren't those deer pretty on the side there? Well, they were pretty on the side, but then when the one got in our lane and everything, that wasn't so good. And he got off of there. I honked my horn, and he got off. But it's a very, very beautiful time. And so in our passage today, actually, I'll be looking at three passages. We'll talk about actually seed. And I've entitled the message, Plant Your Seed. And this is the way I look at it, and I don't want to mix the illustrations too much. Some of them are a little bit different than this, but let me just illustrate this a little bit here. I have here some seeds. Actually, these are just your typical sunflower seeds, a favorite of our kids to plant in the garden. They grow big and tall and very beautiful plants. How many of you have gardens that you've started or plan to start this year? Got a few gardeners here, a few farmers too, I know that. Okay, very good. So I believe that seeds represent, and we'll see this in the scripture, represent something that's very small but can grow into something that's very great and beautiful and beneficial both to man and for the glory of God. And also the scriptures talks about seeds in various ways, but I'd like you to just think about this a moment. And God has given us each a seed. Whether it's you consider that the seed of God's word or a seed of opportunity to share God's word or to let it work in our lives. And the reason why I've entitled this message, Plant Your Seed, is because I'd like us this morning to consider what God would want us to do with that seed that he has given. And this is kind of struck me a little bit as I prepared this message this week. In our garage, we have a small garage where we store a lot of things, and in that garage is a 5-gallon plastic bucket. And inside the bucket is a bag, a plastic bag that's sealed off. And inside the plastic bag is grass seed. Actually, some very nice bluegrass grass seed. I used to work on lawns and everything, so I bought the good stuff. And that grass seed that's in the bag, that's in the bucket, that's on the shelf in our garage, has sat there all winter long. And you know what it's done all winter long? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's a good thing, too, because I don't want mice to go in there and eat it. I don't want it to get wet and have it start growing. I don't want it to mold and be ruined or whatever. It just sat there and it did absolutely nothing. But the other day, actually last fall, we had a tree in our front yard that after Hurricane Sandy was weakened in its roots and was ready to fall down on our cars. And our landlord was very diligent and called somebody and they chopped down that tree and ground it up and everything. Well, we had to plant that area now to make it like the rest of the lawn. And so I've been working on it. Yes, right after my surgery, well, too soon, probably after my surgery, I was out there with my strong sons helping me to churn up that soil and get it all ready. And one day, not too long ago, I finally went into my garage and I went on the shelf and I went in the bucket, inside the bucket, pulled out that bag and took out that seed. And I grabbed it and I started throwing it on the soil. And for the first time since that seed left the factory, it hit soil, it hit moisture. I put some straw over top of it, and I'm hoping that it'll sprout up soon. And I'll be so happy to see those green shoots coming through that straw to make that a beautiful piece of our front lawn. Well, think about that a little bit as we look at these illustrations. God has created these little things with these special characteristics to help us understand some spiritual truths. So let's take a look at a passage, another one in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 8. I'm not going to spend a long time on this passage because it should be fairly familiar to you folks. It's the parable of the soils in Luke 8, verse 4, and I'd like to read on down through to verse 15. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he began to speak by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up and withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those who by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring up no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So we see here various soils. And those of you who have gardened before, you know how important it is to have good soil. Boy, I've worked in some very tough soils before. When we lived in New Jersey, I remember one time digging down and I thought to myself, you know, if I just cut this piece of ground in a square and lift it up the right way, I'll have a solid block. I could build things with it. That's how hard that pine barren soil in New Jersey was. And of course, growing up in Michigan, everybody knows in Michigan you got a lot of clay. I don't know what you have here, but there are some spots that have very rich and deep soil to grow things, and other places take a lot of work to get the rocks out and get the roots out and to condition the soil, make sure it's just right for that. Well, Jesus here shows an illustration of how the Word of God, which is the same, God's Word is the same for all people. He doesn't have different religions for different people. There's only one God and only one Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as that gospel goes out, as the Word of God has gone out in the old times through the nation of Israel and now in these times through the church and preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. But as it goes forth, it is not received the same way. We see that in the Apostle Paul's ministry. We see that today. I think I've heard that in your worship, in your prayers, in your sharing, how that as the gospel goes forth, some receive it for the very first time. Some are eager when they first hear it. Some are not. It's the same way in Poland. This past August when we were there, we were conducting a sports camp to reach out to young people. But most of you know, if you worked in children's ministries, that you can't just reach out to young people. You shouldn't just reach out to them, but there are parents that come with them. So sure enough, one morning, a parent wandered onto our play area there, and he brought his two little sons with him. They weren't ready to play our level of soccer there, but he wanted to know what was going on. And so I started talking with him. Of course, he knew English, so that made it fairly easy to speak with him. But he said, he went and asked a question I was hoping wouldn't be asked. He asked the question. He said, now, what group is this? Is this with a church? And I thought, oh, no. He's with the traditional Catholic church there. And sometimes they don't think very well of Baptist churches. So I thought, oh, no, here we go. So I said, well, it's the Christian Baptist Church here in Sopo. And he said, oh, you mean the one that's on Chopina Street? And I said, yes, that's the one. He said, oh, that's a good church. I thought, whew. Got past that. Then he said to me, now do you believe in praying to the saints? Now he asked it in such a way I knew that he knew that we didn't believe in praying to the saints, but I could tell that he wanted to know why. You see, this gentleman happened to be a professor at the University of Krakow, and he teaches law there, and lawyers typically have curious minds. They think very logically. They want to know why and so forth. So he wanted to know why. And so I shared with him as much as I could. We gave him a tract and everything. But I thought, boy, if we just had another week here in Poland, I could take the book of Romans in Polish. Now, he had a Bible, but he admitted to me that he didn't read it. And I felt like I could just sit down with him and go through the book of Romans. Romans is laid out very logically. It's written for a lawyer, almost. And by the end of the book of Romans, this gentleman would understand clearly how to be saved and how his life can be transformed by Christ. Now it's up to him and the work of the Holy Spirit for that to come about, but that's the kind of work that we would like to do. And we were pleasantly surprised to see some hearts there when we were there that were open to the gospel. Now, yes, there's always others out there that are resistant. Some people are eager, but the materialism that's taken over now in Poland. Now it's a good thing that they have better roads, better food than they had in the communist era. I noticed in their buildings last time, all of them have new windows instead of those old ones. The first time, I don't know if you guys remember the first time we were there. Those old ones, boy, you'd be lucky if you can get them shut or open for that matter. But they've increased in material blessings, but some of those things will choke out the spiritual thirst they had when they had to depend on God for everything because they were under oppression from the communists and so forth. Well, let me ask about your life. We go through different seasons of life, and at different times we're more open to God than others. And how is the soil of your life today? Even as the Word of God is being sown through this ministry, through your own personal Bible study, how is it? Are you bearing fruit? Now, the fruit I think that's indicated here is not just that you know Bible knowledge, but that it's changing your life, and that there is more being produced there in the lives of others that you influence. Is your life clean? Is it have a soil that's receptive? Is your discipleship starting to bear fruit? Now, how many of you here today? Now, I know I'm going to get from this group. How many of you would be grandparents here today? Okay, we've got a good representation today. I tell you. Isn't grandparenting a great invention? Actually, I think God created it. But grandparenting today seems like a great thing. In years past, at least growing up, I started to notice this, that Boy, it seemed like in the past, when people didn't live as long, when we didn't have some of the medical things today, a lot of grandparents would pass away before seeing grandchildren, or grandchildren wouldn't see grandparents. But today, there is that great privilege. And grandparenting, the one dynamic about it is to see that those that you have raised, and in some cases with God's blessing, that you have spiritually raised under the gospel, that have accepted Christ, now have an opportunity to teach their children and to lead them in the ways of the Lord. And that is a special blessing, and that is what God is looking for here. God is not looking for this seed to just go out there and sit on a dry shelf somewhere, or even go into soil that where it's just going to sit there and look like it did the day before. God wants that seed to be watered, to go into fertile ground, and to break apart, actually die, and become something much, much bigger and much more productive, and something that will actually seed out and seed other things. Well, secondly, we'd like to look at another passage in which we see the seed of faith in Luke 17. A little further in the Gospel of Luke, verses 5 through 6. Luke 17. Well, I'm jumping right in the middle of an event in the life of Christ, but I'd just like to pull out the illustration that Jesus used. Verse 5, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Now, Jesus was using an illustration there. He wasn't telling his disciples, go around, see if you can move mountains around and do things like that. But rather, what he was saying is, you know, I know how you are feeling about your faith. And you think to yourself, boy, you know, if people only knew, if even the people at church knew, if my parents knew, how much sometimes I sin in my heart, or when people aren't looking, how I've done bad things. And indeed, all of us have done those things from time to time. I'm not sure how God is going to use me. Well, God has chosen to use sinners in his kingdom, in his church, and God is using us in spite of our weaknesses. He does want us to be sorry about our sin. He does want us to have clean lives. But there are times when we feel, perhaps, that our faith isn't that strong. And we as missionaries are not to come here and to parade ourselves as having the most optimum strength and always on the go, and like the Marines, we fear nothing, and we're brave like the soldiers that have purple hearts and so forth. Because even those men who have received purple hearts, even the Marines, at times perhaps falter in their confidence. And we in our spiritual lives falter in our faith. But what Jesus is really trying to point out here is that our faith is not faith in ourselves. It's not created by ourselves, but it's a faith in an almighty God who has power to move mountains, to bring up kingdoms and to set them down, to raise up churches and raise up ministries and put them anywhere he wants in the world. You know, in Poland, when you look at the churches, especially in the north, they're not very big. Some of them meet in houses, some have their own buildings, but most of them are, you know, very small. A few in the south are a little larger, maybe 300 or so members. Maybe if some of them have grown up a little bit larger, some of the other evangelical groups. But in Poland, you're going to find most of the gospel preaching ministries are rather small. And I remember talking to a pastor one time, and he was a little discouraged. I didn't realize how discouraged, because I just met him, but he was struggling through some difficulties. He said, you know, I'm bivocational. You know, I just don't serve as a pastor full time. I also teach in a school during the week. And fortunately, in my background, I had been bivocational as a pastor. And so I could understand some of his struggles with that. He said, but also, you know, my wife has been having some difficulties and everything. And you know, my son is handicapped, much like Richard back here. He was in a wheelchair. He was hoping to get him to the United States to have a special surgery to help him, but so far they weren't able to do that. And so as I talked with that pastor, and since that time I have prayed for this pastor over some of his difficulties. And though he might feel like his ministry is small, and that his faith has faltered at times, and he's questioned even his call to ministry or his call to that particular ministry in the north east of Poland, we realize we have a big God, and God did preserve Pastor Zbigniew Mieszka. He is still serving there today, and God led him through those difficult times. Reach out to God when you feel discouraged. Reach out to others that can encourage you along, because that small faith, it seems so small, but God can use it very powerfully. I mean, I'm amazed when I go to put things in the backyard, how roots go underneath the ground and do all kinds of things. I was on a rototiller yesterday, borrowed from the neighbor, and all of a sudden it started jumping like a billy goat because it hit something. You want to guess what I hit? It was a root. Big, huge, knotty thing. I mean, it might as well be a rock for all that matter, because it's stuck in there. And then, not even a few weeks ago, our plumbing started breaking down in the house. The drains weren't working. Well, why was that? Well, because those roots had snuck in there and just were choking off our drainage for our house and everything. So these little things are small. They seem like hidden, but they can do powerful things. Your faith in your life is going to do powerful things for God. Every day you make a decision to honor God and live for Him, He will use that powerfully in the lives of people, in your own life, in your testimony, whether it's at school or work, wherever you go. God has given us the seed of faith to work powerfully. Are you exercising your faith? Are you letting God stretch you? He will do that. That's part of His program. Our new devotional guide this week is in the book of Job. God saw Job as a strong Christian, but He said, I'm going to test him to prove to Satan and to others that his faith is genuine. And even if God just does that this week to test your faith or your patience or your temper, God is doing that for His glory, and He will receive glory through it. Well, then finally, back to our passage in Luke 13. Luke 13, you have the seed of the church. I know it's talking about the kingdom here, and some would say the kingdom is a special thing, and I don't want to get into the distinctions here in particular, but the Church of Jesus Christ is likened unto what Jesus is talking about here, in that it starts out as something very small. How small was it? Well, of course, it started out with Jesus in His preaching, and indeed before this time, things that God had done in the past through prophets, but when Jesus came, the whole world changed. And His preaching, His representation to the people as finally not just a prophet, but God's very own Son, changed everything. But you notice when He started out, He just called a handful of men, 12, to be His special followers. He started preaching. People followed Him. The crowds got bigger. And then He started preaching some more, and He started preaching some more, and people started following because He did miracles. Then He preached some more, and then people started leaving. But all told, His followers weren't that big. The Roman Empire was bigger and stronger than they were. And we saw that in the way they treated Jesus, and eventually were part of executing Him. The religious leaders were in control, and so they were eventually able to arrest Him and everything, and put our Lord on the cross, and He died a death as a criminal. But Jesus, once again, was planted in the tomb, and through the power of God, was resurrected and raised up out of that stony, cold place to powerfully represent the power of God over death and the salvation that would be preached to all mankind. And so you have this ragtag group of fishermen and other apostles. You have these women who faithfully followed Jesus and were at the tomb itself. And they got together in the upper room, and God gave them the Holy Spirit as promised. And what did they do? They went out and started talking everywhere. They couldn't stop talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here the message started spreading out through different places. You know, as we prayed for Poland, we have wondered what God might do in Poland as far as revival. We really want to see a revival there. Do you remember way back in the Solidarity movement in the 80s? Lech Walesa, who is still alive and is still somewhat involved in political life and commentary in that country. I don't know if he's saved, but he does represent a strong faith in God, and he does represent conservative moral and political type views, and he gets regularly pummeled for that in the media and some other places that I read. But in Gdansk, the Solidarity movement started there. The Solidarity movement was not just a political movement, not just a labor movement. Those people called upon God. They got down on their knees in the shipyard to pray for God's help in that whole thing that was happening there. Just as that happened back in that time, we have wondered if either in Gdansk or Warsaw or Lublin or any other city in Poland if perhaps a revival would break out. Not one that would just be a political upheaval, not just an economic revival, but something spiritually that would grow and to become something great and large. This passage talks about here an illustration, how that there was a seed planted. Once again, a small seed, a seed planted in faith, a seed, perhaps in this particular illustration, a seed planted in good soil. Because it says here that took a grain of mustard seed, a very, very small seed. The man took and cast into his garden, once again, going on to the soil. In this particular illustration, it grew, became a great tree, and the birds of the air lodged in it. That is, this tree was a benefit. Not only was it big and beautiful, did it show the glory, not only did it show the glory of God, but birds were able to nest in it. The picture here is about the work of God expanding, so much so that other people are benefited by it. Years ago, we were planting a church in a new community. Years ago I was doing a church planting project, so to speak. It was kind of a research project, but it was talking about planting a church in a new community. And when I went to talk with the city officials, I was getting some stats and everything. The lady was very helpful. She thought maybe I was a business that wanted to come in and, start a new business in the township. So she was giving me all the information. She said, our township's really growing. We've grown 20% in the last 5 years and so forth and so on. Well, next time I had to call her back, she said, now what kind of business are you? And I said, well, actually, I represent a project that would be a part of a church being planted, a church planting project. And she said, oh. And that was kind of the end of the conversation. I didn't get too much out of her after that time. You know, the church of Jesus Christ today has a positive effect on the world. I know the church has its warts. I know some church leaders and some churches themselves have failed from time to time. But God is doing something important through your church here in this community. You pull the churches out of this community. You pull the churches out of our country, and you're going to see a dramatic change, even worse than what we have seen in some of the spiritual and moral slippage of recent days. The church is a place where people can come to. I've heard it here this morning. People come to churches when they have a friend or relative who dies. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of hope. When people have other needs, they don't always just flock into the church building itself, but they will come to those that they know represent God and know God. You are kinds of priests in our age today to represent God to other people. You're a holy priesthood that is there to minister the word of God. And this is what's being talked about. The seed of the church is planted. It grows up and becomes a place, not just for birds, but more people, and to be a place of hope, place of comfort, place of counsel. Some cases a place of common sense and sanity in a world that sometimes has really gone crazy in some areas. So don't look at yourself as small potatoes. Even small potatoes can be planted and grow up to be a nourishing food. But look at your life as something that God is working through. Now, we're going to take these seeds back with us, and I was hoping we would have at least a few sunflowers planted in our backyard there as we're turning up the soil. But I'd like you to think of these seeds today as something that perhaps represents something in your life that you are concerned about today. What is it today that your faith is failing on? Is it perhaps health, money? I must admit, I'm concerned about funds. We write awful low to the ground when it comes to finances. How God is able to put our kids in Christian schools and do the things we do, I don't know. They work hard, they study hard, they get good grades. God has provided through His people, but it amazes me that we've been able to do as much as we have. So if you're worried about finance today, I'm worried about finances. Some of you are worried about health concerns, health insurance today, concerned about reaching somebody who's lost, somebody who may be close to eternity but has not yet put their faith in Christ. Whatever it is, take that seed and plant it in good soil, the soil of faith, a soil that is ready to be able to trust God to do a great work. Look for God to multiply the little that you see in your life and to do great things. Look for those people who can be blessed by what little you can share. If you know Jesus Christ here this morning, you have something very, very precious you can share with somebody this week. If you don't yet know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or uncertain about your relationship to Christ, make a decision today to be firmly committed to Him. Don't be like somebody who is choked out by the cares of this world, somebody who may have been excited about Christianity at one time, but now has turned their backs on Christ. Come to Christ. Put a firm commitment to Him, to trust Him, to grow your faith. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for the people who spoke the gospel first to us. Whether we were saved as children or as adults, whether it was a preacher or a missionary or just a faithful mother and dad or a good friend of ours. Maybe, Lord, we received the gospel through a tract ministry. Lord, in each of these cases, we thank You for giving Your gospel to us. I pray, Lord, for the land of Poland that has many people that have never really clearly heard the living Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that You might allow us to go there. Pray for those faithful pastors and Christians who are there, that You might multiply Your church there as You have described here in the Scripture. For this work here in Katanning, that You might continue to use this church in a great way. It's a place of comfort, a place of refuge, a place of spiritual strengthening as a means of preserving what is good in our communities and our nation. I pray, Lord, for anybody here this morning who is really struggling with believing You about some matter, that their faith would be strengthened, that a word from the pastor or some other friend here today might allow them to go home encouraged and ready to see You do great things. We thank You, Lord, for all that You have done for us. May our lives grow and expand for Your glory. In Christ's name, amen.